What's up, Myco family? Van from Mycotrophic here. Welcome back to my podcast, where together we are going to grow in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. And today, in today's episode, we have Andrew of Shroomed. He's the founder of Shroomed, shroom.com, and he's here to share his experience, share his stories, chat a little bit about what he does. I actually just jumped off of his podcast. We're doing a swap today. So thanks for coming on my show, bro. How are you doing?
Absolutely, man. Anytime. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great, dude. We had a really good conversation on yours, and now I'm really excited to kind of, you know, flip the script and kind of share your story. I think what most prominently popped out about you when I first found you on Instagram, which was probably like a short amount of time, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, maybe less, was your sobriety and like your story of like, you know, you're sober and that mushrooms and all kinds of mushrooms helped you to get there. So I was wondering if you can kind of like, you know, share a little bit about like who you are and what you're about and how you got to where you're at now.
Absolutely, man. Definitely. So for me, trauma kind of began when I was younger in middle school. My brother had a newborn baby and he ended up being born with disabilities. So growing up in the same household with him, it was just tough because we always had a nurse in the house. We always had stuff going on where I was really just kind of, you know, not, I'm just afraid to have friends over just to see what would they think, you know, there's someone, you know, getting medical attention in my house. And not that it's obviously a bad, nothing that we can prevent, but it's just something that was always on my mind. And throughout those years, my nephew did end up passing away when I was probably around 23. And then a month right after, my grandpa died. And then like just a little bit later, my stepdad died. So these deaths in my family really caused a lot of trauma for me. So even at a young age, I was into cannabis to try to relieve my stress and anxiety. So, and I didn't drink very much until all these deaths happened. So I started drinking around like 23, 24. I was living in Las Vegas and just living that Vegas life.
Yeah.
Going out, going to casinos. There was always something to do there. So around eventually in 2014, ended up moving back to California. And then in 2020, we had COVID happen. So in 2020, I was a recruiter in real life. So hiring people, like a headhunter. So I really, you know, I was really good at my job. And to me, it was a really easy job. So once we started working from home, I got really comfortable and I started getting bored. So I started increasing my drinking. I started drinking earlier, eventually until I was drinking like a bottle of Henny a day during that process during COVID, because our lockdowns happened in, I think it was like March or May. And then we started lockdown. I started drinking. Then actually hadn't talked to my dad in a few years. My dad's been off and on in my life for my whole life. And then when I got married in 2016, I invited him to our wedding and got him a plane ticket and everything. And he just didn't show up. So I kind of cut him out of my life after that date. And then in June 2020, I get a phone call that he's dying. So I'm like, oh, great. You know, I hadn't talked to this guy in this long and now I find out he's dying. So along with working from home, being locked down, I found out my dad's dying and I can't go see him because we're locked down. So it just, and he was dying of liver cancer. So that situation really just skyrocketed in my drinking. So it kind of like doubled overnight. So in December of that year, after his death and everything, my wife, there was a couple times where my wife had to call some of my friends because I was just out of control. Drinking, having, just not listening to anything she's saying. My mom's having to come over, take care of me, just being really embarrassed because this wasn't me normally. Like I definitely drank before, but it wasn't to this blacking out period.
Yeah.
Doing coke, doing blow, just getting myself in all kinds of trouble with my wife. And we had been married for 4 years at this time. So it came, December 17th came and the 16th came and I ended up blacking out. I actually was driving around in my car and I actually ended up hitting someone and I took off, because I knew that if I wait around for these cops to come, that I'm going to be arrested. So I took off, I went home, I end up passing out at home. My wife finds me just belligerent or passed out. And the next day they gave me a pretty much an intervention. So it's December 17th. They're like, hey, you got to do something, man. Like, this isn't you. So I saw myself in a cycle where I'm never getting out of this thing. Like, I tried to go to these meetings. I went through Kaiser to a couple of meetings and they weren't working. I was still drinking. And I remembered, cause I had only first taken mushrooms in 2018, but I remember people talking about mushrooms during COVID and saying, hey, like, these things can help with depression. They can help with people stop smoking, people stop drinking.
Yep.
So I decided, hey, I'm just going to try this. I've tried everything else. I'm just going to try to find some mushrooms and I'm going to try to see what I could do. So I ended up getting a hold of some mushrooms. I don't remember what they were, even how I even got them, honestly. I think it was just from someone that I was getting weed from. But these mushrooms, I just started taking them. I took them whenever we'd go out. Instead of drinking, I would just take the mushrooms. So I'd take about a gram each time we'd go out. And I started to feel a little bit better, a little bit better. And then at this time, while I'm researching, it's been like a month and I'm like, okay, this something's going on here because these cravings are going away. It's becoming less and less that I want to drink. And I was like, I need to get a hold of some DMT because I heard this is what really helps people, you know, like getting some DMT and getting one of those trips. So I ended up finding someone with a DMT bait pen. End up one day telling my wife, like, hey, I'm just going to go take this pen. I'm going to try to blast off. I was watching some videos and Terrence McKenna says you got to take the three big hits and then that'll get you to blast off. So I had already taken a little bit of mushrooms that night and I ended up just telling her, I'm going to go in the room. I'm going to blast off. So I take three big hits. I start having the visuals. I start seeing all the fractals, like a pretty much like a mild, like a psilocybin trip. And then all of a sudden I open my eyes. I'm still seeing all these fractals and shapes and energies. And I'm like, oh fuck, I fucked up. Like, I really fucked up. So I go outside and I tell my wife, like, I think I killed myself. Like, I don't know what happened. So I'm trying to make my way outside and I'm going through all these, I feel like just energies. I feel like I'm just like pushing them out of the way just to try to go outside. And I open my door, I go outside and then I just start seeing the sky and I look at the sky and everything is just connected at that moment. All the stars are connected. I see every constellation. I see everything just like flashing at me. And I'm like, I tell my wife, do you see that? And she's like, I don't know what you're seeing. She's just like, I have no idea what you're seeing.
Yeah.
But at that moment, I just felt, like my dad had like went inside me because I felt like it was okay. Like I felt like, oh wow. Like I'm okay with him dying. Like I just start bawling at that moment. And then I feel like everything in that moment just made me feel okay. Like I just felt a huge warmth on me. And then ever since that day, I looked at alcohol differently. I looked at life differently. I started listening to country music, which was something that I hated before. Like that was the only music that I hated. And then I realized like, holy shit, there's something here, you know? So that was how I kind of got myself to stop drinking with psychedelics and psilocybin. But from that moment, I realized like, I need to get this out there. Like I need to tell people that what happened, because there's people struggling every day. There's people stuck in rehabs, rehab to rehab, that are not looking at this option. So what I wanted to do was I was in the cannabis business. Like you said, you were, I had a brand going in 2020 as well. We were in a couple dispensaries, but then COVID really screwed everything up. So I was like, well, that's done. So I will really want to start something else. And I was always bummed that I never got into like cannabis at an early time. It was always late, but I've always been a cannabis head since a kid. So I was like, well, maybe there's something here because this stuff changed me so quickly and so like it's so well that I want to help people. So I was started looking at domains and things and I found Shroomed. So I was like, okay, I want to make Shroomed a clothing brand or a brand or just anything. I don't know what I want to do with it, but I want to make it something where when people see it, they're going to talk to me and ask me about it. And I'm going to be able to tell them my story. So it's kind of like just a way to break the ice and break the stigma. So I just started recording podcast episodes, putting them on Spotify, and then just talking about my story, just like a almost like a daily journal, like daily diary. And then started my Instagram. That Instagram got kicked out like probably 5 or 6 times. I had to start new ones. Finally started this one, and I feel like after a lot of trial and error, now I've just been building the Shroom community to tell my story, and then hopefully that story helps some other people. So that's really what Shroomed is. Just it's a brand to break the stigma around mushrooms. So I'm really hoping that, you know, maybe one day it could be like a cookies for the mushroom space, like an everyday name that people would be able to see.
Amazing. Lots of growth there. I like the usage of DMT and mushrooms. That's quite the combo, if you ask me. And it sounds like you went through the full thing, man. Like, especially during COVID timeframe, that was tough on, I mean, I was growing at the time and taking mushrooms, but I was still like experimenting with drinking, and what a weird time just for Earth in general. And so it looks like you came out on the other side. That's amazing. I'm really happy to see that. I'm also inspired to hear about other people you inspired. Do you get like a group of like a specific type of person or group, or like a general energy in your community of like healing and embetterment and things like that?
I do. I get a lot of people who are on the verge of trying psychedelics. I get a lot of veterans, is one thing. I get a lot of people who come back from doing a tour or something and just coming back with all these addictions. And then they're sent over to, you know, the VA or something, and then put on just all kinds of more medications. So I've been talking, I do tend to get a lot of messages from a lot of veterans, a lot of people that are therapists that try to help their patients as well. Confidentially, you know, they can't say that they're going to use, you know, psilocybin or psychedelics, but they know that it works. So they want to know more about my story just to see how they can incorporate it in their therapies. But I would say a lot of people that are kind of on the verge of trying it, and then really after kind of hearing a story like ours, is just like, you know, now it's like, we got to just do it, you know?
So do you have like a specific go-to one or two like main reasons why people should go for it? Because I would believe, even in my own community, I'm probably attracting, you know, new growers and, you know, maybe people who are interested in growing for themselves or for, you know, their family in need. What's like some of your main reasoning as to why you believe others should at least inquire or try something like mushrooms for growth?
I think the self-awareness is number one. And I've been talking to a lot of people recently about their experiences after we've gotten them microdosing and taking like lion's mane and cordyceps. They feel like now when they put something, or they're getting ready to eat, maybe take a bite of eat or put something in their body, that they're actually thinking about it before they're doing it. So like a sense of awareness that what you're doing to your body actually affects your outcome. So like for me, it was obviously when I drank, the next day I feel like shit, I feel depressed. Yep. I don't ever want to do it again, but I still do it, you know? And I feel like when I started taking mushrooms, even at just a little dose, it's like your other subconscious is like the angel and the devil. It's more of your angel is here and not the devil. You know, it's like the angel's here. It's trying to, you know, tell you to do all these good things. Where before, when I was, you know, maybe watching the news all the time or being brainwashed by media, music, just everything that they throw at us, it was more of the other side telling me, just do it. You know what I mean? Like drink the alcohol, you know, stuff like that. Even gambling, even just anything. Like I used to gamble all the time, and now I feel like anything I do, there's always a question before I do it. Is this going to benefit me or negatively affect me after this? And I think you said it on my podcast, it washes away. It clears up your brain a little bit and makes you focus on more of the important stuff in life, or the things that, you know, like family and friends. Like I've been with my girl since I was in high school. When I got caught up in drinking, I could care less about her, but she's the same girl that I was with in high school. Like, why would it shouldn't have been like that. So I knew that it wasn't me. It was the things that I was putting in my body. So I feel like even just a little bit of dose can help go a long ways in that sense. With the depression, I think all that stuff clears up after you start doing the right things, you know? So it's not like maybe the mushrooms don't cure your depression, but it's because you're thinking about what you put into your body that the depression is going away.
What were some of the biggest lifestyle changes you made once you were pretty solid in your sobriety and you had incorporated, you know, all kinds of mushrooms into your diet? What was some of the first things that you noticed that changed or that you were most like that most affected you?
So, I mean, this was kind of unfortunate, but there were a lot of, like, there were friends that I had to let go of. Like there are people in my life that I realized that weren't a good impact on me. So like one of my best friends from high school, like we've done everything together, but every time we got together, we would drink or get in a fight or something. So I don't talk to him, you know? So there's things that I had to do in that sense. I'd say I have better routines. I feel like mushrooms have helped me kind of put you in, like, you get your microdose in the morning, you get your coffee, you know, get your lion's mane cordyceps, and it helps you give a little bit of routine in your life. Because if you just wake up and, you know, go in every day blind, you don't know which way it's going to turn, you know? So you got to really have some sort of routine to really get you in the right, I think, setting.
Yeah.
Trying to put better things in my body. Like I used to eat a lot of fast food. So that's definitely changed. And just trying to be a better person too, because what you put out is definitely what you get in. So the community that I've started, the good thing about having your own community is you try to lead it in the right direction. So that's really what we're trying to do with Shroomed, is just make it, once you see Shroomed, it's more of like a positive attitude. You know, we don't get a lot of people like talking crap to each other or anything like that. It's more just to uplift everybody kind of feeling.
Love that. So we've talked a little bit about how it's impacted you, but could you give a snapshot of maybe some of your own observations of like how making changes in your own life has affected those outside of you? So maybe like your wife, your family, and some of the close friends, have they had much to say about your transformation and what you're doing now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my wife, she was like, she obviously was the first one, the most important one that wanted me to stop. But now she says I'm a whole new person. I mean, before I was just always, I don't know, just always in an edgy mood, I guess you could say. And now I just feel more open. Like even going to concerts and stuff, I would have to, because I'm a huge introvert, not the best with my words. So like, I was always afraid to even speak up or even talk. And now I feel like I have, like, I could just speak my mind or talk about how I feel or go up to somebody in a public place that I normally wouldn't go up to and just start a conversation with them and be friendly. And I feel like it's even connected me more with people like that, because I don't know. I just feel like when you've taken mushrooms, you're on mushrooms, I feel like just everything connects a little bit better than before. Yeah. So my wife definitely thinks, I mean, she'll never want me to drink ever again. My mom, the same thing. Friends have said, you know, definitely much more a happier person than I was before. And just not thinking about the little things anymore is really the main thing as well. Cause I would always stress about little things that really weren't important, like maybe money issues, stuff like that. But now I feel like just mushrooms really put the really important things in perspective and kind of helps you, I don't know, be on that right track, I guess.
Gotcha. What does your daily routines look like? So, you know, you can kind of incorporate a little bit of everything, but what is your like most common schedule like with ingesting mushrooms look like?
I'd say I do like my microdose schedule is probably like a pretty much microdose like every day. So in the morning, I get up, start checking emails, start getting the community going, I'll maybe do a post or two, but, I usually fast until about like 12 or 1. So I try to stay, like today I didn't, but I try to not eat until a little bit later, cause I felt like that's been helping me as well in my energy levels. Usually get out some orders in the morning. And then I try to do a podcast or two. I try to do journaling as well. And then doing my regular, I have dogs, so we go on a walk, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just, and then my mom lives down the street. So trying to see her, you know, once every couple of days as well. But the main thing I do every day is probably the microdosing, the lion's mane cordyceps, and just getting active and getting outside. I know one thing I struggled with, especially during COVID, was just even going out and getting some sun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was one thing that, especially being depressed and someone you don't want to do shit, you know? So mm-hmm. I've been trying to get up and get active more the last couple of years as well.
Love that. Overall health has probably just increased. I know, like, you had mentioned that your dad had liver cancer. Was he a big drinker?
So he was a heroin addict. So he was an addict as long as I knew, in and out of jail. And he had hepatitis, due to all the needles. So I thought he was clean the last few years of his life, but I think it just caught up with him. And it was interesting because he was really big into God, and Christianity. He had found Christianity and was really pushing it on me a lot. But I was never wanting to hear any of it until I did the DMT and he died. I was like, wow, I think I believe in God more now than I did ever before.
Mm.
And it kind of bummed me out because, like, he was already gone, you know?
Yeah.
So I try to, there's a little bit of regret there, but I feel like now I'm a lot closer to him after the DMT, which is weird to say.
No, totally understand, man. Yeah, I ask just because, you know, a lot of the work you're doing now isn't just for you. It's, you know, it's for your bloodline going forward, or even people who know you and that you influence. So, like, you know, for instance, like my grandfather was, you know, crazy alcoholic. My entire lifetime, the few or handful times that I met him, you know, pretty much drunk every time. Like my biggest memory of him is at a family reunion, just being belligerent and just getting into fights with everybody. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then for a long time, my dad was, you know, one of those guys, he would drink a half or full bottle of, like, Jose Cuervo Gold, you know, a night kind of thing. And, then for me, obviously, like, Marine Corps, like, culture is, like, you know, the fucking Marine Corps was founded in a tavern, in Tun Tavern, Philadelphia, in 1775. So it was culture, you know. And, like, I didn't have, like, college years, but now with me being sober, you know, I've even attracted a sober mate. Like, my girlfriend hasn't, I think she might have tried a beer, like, at, like, 14, 15 or something like that, but she's never seen me drink. I've never seen her drink. And we just have, like, it's like the most different relationship now. Like, we don't have, you know, just because we don't share that doesn't mean we can't have a good relationship. And I'm interested, like, because, like, I have a question, actually. Is your girlfriend sober, or your wife, is she sober?
So she is not sober, but she has definitely, she's seen me do it. And now that she realized, now that she starts feeling the way, like, after, like, she just got drunk for the wedding and she's like, she felt like shit the next day. So she's like, I'm not going to drink, you know, I'm trying not to drink for another month. So it's kind of rubbing off on her a little bit.
Influencing. Yeah. I mean, it's just a totally different thing. For a while, I was, I didn't go to AA, but I had a friend who was like an AA leader. I'm not quite sure if there's, like, a designated name for that. And what's funny, cause you had mentioned, like, how, like, psychedelics are looked down upon in that group, but that's, like, that's my buddy. He's, you know, he's like a Kundalini yoga instructor outside of that too. He does, you know, mushrooms quite often. He's done DMT, you know, multiple handful of times. And he has, like, this, like, awareness that he brings there, but doesn't tell anybody else that he does them. Literally, you know, it could be, like, the cure. I don't want to say the cure. Mushrooms aren't the cure, but they're a cure or a tool, you know, if you will. But it's funny. Yeah. So do you go to, like, any of those meetings, or do you support that kind of environment or community at all?
I'm not a fan of just, like, so when I went to these inpatient or outpatient things, your Kaiser, I felt like they were similar to meetings because they went around the room. You talk about, you know, your life. You talk about, you know, I'm an alcoholic. This is what I did. And I feel like every time I would do that, I'm just shaming myself. And I'm just, like, reliving those moments. Like, I'm really big in my head and stuff. So like every time I even say it, like I didn't want to think about this stuff because it just brought back those shameful memories and embarrassment. And I was just like, it would make me want to drink again. So no, I mean, but it works for a lot of people. But then I started getting into more of like what Bill Wilson was saying in the spiritual awakening. And that's what I had with that DMT experience was a spiritual awakening. And that's if people are trying to get to that. And I think that is a fast track to that for some people. And I do feel like, I mean, I have nothing wrong with nothing against the people who are in AA, but I just feel like it is a little more like kind of clicky. Like they do like shut down a lot of theories that if you say one thing about AA, then they'll just shut you out, you know? So I think there is a lot of room for improvement in that, but I mean, it is working for a lot of people. So what am I to say, you know?
Yeah. I just asked because, I want everyone who's listening to know that there's outlets. I'm sure I have, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with having a drink. I might in my lifetime have another, but right now I'm just cool. I'm content without it. If my girlfriend wanted to have one, she could have one. It's not going to be the end of the world. But I, you know, I find that that was like my favorite way of dealing of not dealing with my emotions. And it's really easy to just, you know, to have a drink and then to cover it up. Do you have, I know you mentioned things like journaling and I know you said you're getting more active. Do you have other outlets that you recommend to others as they're kind of going through the, maybe the journey of trying to hit sobriety or and find clarity? What were some of the most, you know, like maybe like powerful moments for you in that part?
I think finding others to talk to, even if it's on the internet, like our community, just people that are in the kind of like similar, maybe, I don't know, just similar, in a similar, area as you, I would say, let's see, working out. I mean, definitely working out was one thing for me, running, just to kind of take my head out of some spaces. Cause some days, you know, it was tough. Like you did want to drink. So I think just getting your mind off of it, maybe going out for a run or getting like a high strength workout would be definitely good too, to just get some energy out.
Yeah.
Mine was a lot of anxious energy I had. I don't know, man, that's a tough one because I just think everyone's different. So, finding good hobbies to deal with, just taking your mind off of things. Podcasts really helped me. There was a podcast called the Dopey Podcast that I recommend for a lot of people who are struggling, with addiction for sure. It's a good podcast.
The Dopey, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll look it up for sure. I'm always listening to audiobooks and podcasts. So I'm all about it. Now let's kind of digress and talk a little bit about the brand because it's very appealing. Like it stuck out to me. And, you know, what's funny is for a long time, there was like a derogatory term was shrooms, in the grower community. I'm like, you guys, it's just like, we're highlighting mushrooms. It's just an abbreviation, not a derogatory term. So you've got quite the Instagram following. I know you've been building your podcast. What are some of the most like coolest interactions you've had? Or like, I know you've been to maybe a couple events here and there. I've seen like some of your content. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the first event we did was, 3 years ago, we were at the Meet Delic, event in Las Vegas. They branded themselves as the first psychedelic, event. And my whole goal with the brand at that time was really just get my name out there and do something that I can have in pictures and stuff to just say that I was there at that time. Yeah. At that moment, I met so many people that are still involved. I met Nootropics. I met the micropreneur. I met, I'm just lots of people that I am still connected with now that we all kind of, I don't know, man. We all really just kind of validated each other at that time and just said, hey, man, like we're going to try to do this all and we're going to try to and stick with it for this time being. So that was one event that I did that was really fun. Champs, I ended up releasing a lion's mane drink. It was a lion's mane and cordyceps drink and a lion's mane gummy. That was last year at Champs, which is a counterculture event in Las Vegas. It's a lot of like smoke shops, head shops that go there. So I went in there thinking like, oh, I got, you know, a great product, I got a great brand. And then that's when a lot of these other companies started coming out with like the Amanita muscaria gummies. So that was like the huge hit that just took over the whole event, where it didn't matter what else you had, as long as you had Amanita gummies, that's what they wanted.
Right.
So that was a bummer at that time. But I've just kind of stuck with it, just really trying to get the brand out there. Ran some ads, which really helped me get my Instagram up. Targeted a lot of people that I felt would be, you know, would be interested in the brand. Got a couple of things of merch. I got the hat. I got a couple of hats coming out at the Entheogen Expo. So at the expo nice. Coming up in February, I'm going to be launching a few different products to really solidify like my merch. Because I'll be honest, man, the last few years, it's really like, I didn't know what direction I wanted to go with Shroomed, but I just knew it had to be there somewhere in the space. So that's why I kind of just did the podcast, did some functional mushroom products, did some growing, did some, now I'm just, you know, just seeing kind of what sticks. But I know that one thing is the name itself is really what's going to help me kind of move it forward, I think. And obviously just being myself and trying to build a strong community. So I think we're still so new into the mushroom industry and the mushroom space that maybe next week it could be a new product, you know, it could be a lot of different things. I actually have something that I'm really excited about that I'm launching at the event. I don't want to talk about it too much right now, but I really hope that will help spread awareness of the brand as well. But like early on, I got to, I don't know if you know Coast to Coast Mycology. I got to meet with Chad early on, and I helped him sell some of his spores out at the convention as well. He introduced me to a lot of great people in the industry, where it just helped me kind of get the name out there a little bit more. So I'm all about making connections and networking. I used to work at Zappos.com when I was in Vegas for about 4 years. So they really taught me to be your own entrepreneur. Really, if you have your own ideas, just run with them. Our CEO was really big on just giving us all the tools that we needed to succeed. So I took a lot of what I learned at Zappos, and I'm trying to put it into Shroomed as well.
Awesome. So I'm interested from your perspective of like going to these events, offering products, where do you see the industry going in the next year or few years, or maybe even further on?
You know, that's a good question. I think the next one or two years is going to be people like us just doing it, just trying to build our own community. Like my goal is to really just to build the community as large as I can for when this does become decriminalized in my area or legalized. But I think state by state, states are going to become decriminalized. I think California probably in the next 2 years. But that's, I just really hope that opens up more doors for like, maybe like dispensary style in California. I really don't want to see the like Oregon where you have to, you know, go pay someone to have your experience. I think the people really need to get their hands on the medicine themselves just to feel more comfortable to do it. I think it'll reach more people. So I'm really hoping that we have some maybe like licensed shops that we can sell it at, or even if you're like prescribed by a doctor, that you can go to a dispensary and have it, just kind of like how cannabis was back in the day.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping, but I don't know if that's where it's going to go. I really see them trying to, you know, put a, like a, almost gatekeep it a little bit for each state. So that's why I think people like us just need to do it, because the more people that do it, it's more of like a, almost like an, it's almost like a commodity, like food. It's like a farmer's market. So, just like how their seshes, I think they really can't stop us if we're all doing it and we're all just kind of like trading it with each other, or just giving people microdose capsules. Cause I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking microdose capsules. I mean, I don't see any side effects to them myself. I haven't seen anything yet. I mean, there could be, but I just think it just can help people more than anything.
Yeah, at this point, I haven't personally seen anything wrong about it in myself. I haven't seen anybody else have adverse reactions. None of that. And I do too. I hope that the industry kind of goes that way too. Like, I was just talking with Full Canopy Genetics, and he was giving me like the lowdown on what's happening in the Colorado market. And essentially people are paying like $3,500 just for one experience. I'm like, what in the world? So it's ridiculous. That's like, you know, that's like some people's like 1 or 2 months of rent kind of thing, or mortgage, right? So yeah, I'd love to continue to empower the people and to have them, you know, cultivate their own medicine, experience it themselves. And then it just becomes more of a commonality versus having to push legislation to make it, you know, this like, you know, official thing. And, you know, it's going to happen that way. I don't want it to go the same route as cannabis, but I think it's going to go in similar ways where they're going to have like very few licensed places. You're going to be able to go and buy an eighth. But like that model to me doesn't sound about right, because as many mushroom products as there is, like there are some who microdose every day, but it's not something you're taking like mass quantities of every day. It's like with cannabis, you can, it's a kind of a daily consumable commodity. It's kind of like a coffee.
I beg to differ a little bit on that.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's talk about that. So like, I don't know, I've only met one person in my like 8, 10, almost 10 years of growing who was taking like an eighth on a weekly basis. So can you tell me a little bit, like, what do you mean? Please interject.
So where I'm located in the Central Valley, like we have a lot of cannabis people, a lot of our dispensaries, like they only sell 100 milligrams or more, just because of the, everyone wants strong stuff around here. And there's a lot of mushroom people around here that,
yeah, sure.
Not that taking like an eighth a day, but I think I take like probably a quarter a week, you know what I mean? Because like, I'm taking, you know, there, it does take a lot for me to really get going sometimes, but I feel like I did replace it with alcohol. I don't know. But like for me, when I go out, I like to take it because for me, it opens me up. It gets me out there more because like I said, I'm like a really bad introvert where I just won't even go and do anything. So when I take, you know, like a good, you know, 0.5 or a gram, I get motivation that I want to go out there and do stuff. Mm. So I think there will be those people who really do need it a lot more than someone normally.
True.
And maybe obviously it's not like you're taking you're tripping every day. You're not. No, this is just to really just function. But I just think some people do need a little bit more than normal. There's a lot of comedians that I've met that are taking, you know, they're like, I feel like some people, I mean, I've heard this too, like some people on the spectrum, they need more than normal people. And I think, feel like there's a lot more people on the spectrum nowadays. Not saying anything bad, but I'm just saying.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's like one in every 88 kids now has autism.
Yeah. And I really think the stuff is going to help people a lot more. But I think it just takes more of us talking about it and destigmatizing it, because you know, you don't know if what's going to happen unless you take you work your way up. Like you said, like you start at microdosing and go up.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to start high and then have that bad experience and then never do it again, you know?
Exactly. I'm interested. So with someone who's taking, you know, a fair amount of mushrooms, what is your favorite form? Are you one of the people like myself who despises the taste, like immediate gag reflex, or do you make chocolates or gummies, or what's your preferred method?
I mean, I don't mind the taste too much, but I do like gummies. I'll take a gummy in the morning sometimes. I'll take a capsule in the morning. It's honestly whatever I'm feeling that day. Like, yeah. It's a lot of like concerts, I like taking like a gummy or a chocolate. But yeah, I mean, I've got the full gamut here. So I feel like it's, for me, I've made it into like almost like cannabis, like all these different strains, different things, and different ways of taking, you know? So I really hope that, you know, it gets normalized like that sometime soon.
So you talked a little bit about some products that you've made. Can you talk a little bit about some that you have, or you've offered in the past, or that you're still providing?
Yeah. So,
plug.
Well, yeah, I don't make any of the gummies. I've got everything from Nootropics. So I met Nootropics a few years ago. But they've made a really good fruiting body gummy, also chocolate. They're actually going to be making me a shroomed branded chocolate that's coming out at the Entheogen Expo. So I'm really excited for that.
Nice.
It's going to be a special little flavor. They're these little mini bars. So these are like mini 2 gram bars that they make.
Nice.
So it'll be a mini bar with the shroomed logo. A lot of people that in my community, they tell me that they like honey. So they like infused honey. And that's been a one thing that I've been getting a lot of people asking me where to get is a good powder and honey together. So, and that's what I'm saying. Like people just, I'm like, how much are you taking of the honey? They're like, I don't know, just a big scoop. I'm like, jeez, man.
Yeah.
But these people are like, it's literally helping them function. So a lot of the people like you asked me about in my community, there are people who really need it. Like there are people who are just struggling with some sort of depression or anxiety where they just can't even function. Right. So I think that's where the kind of the high doses come in, that they need that stuff.
Yeah, I've only realized when I've taken them like for 3 or 4 days in a row that I have to, you know, progressively take, you know, slightly, you know, larger amounts. But I'm kind of a cheap date when it comes to anything. I mean, like when I was in the cannabis industry, you know, you have like your managers or your owners like, hey, try this. Let me know how it goes. Here's some freebies. So like, I felt like I had quite the tolerance at some time. Like it was comfortable for me to take 100, 200 milligrams. If I did that now, I'd be out for like an entire day kind of thing. Yeah. The same thing kind of goes with mushrooms as well. And alcohol to, you know, put that in the mix too. But yeah, I have met a few friends, people in my community as well, that they'll take like 7, 8 grams and nothing. Not at all. Some friends just, it doesn't work. And I'm like, well, you must've had like some Chinese food or something before, or you must've like, you know, like, you know, and then there's also the group of people who are taking like, antidepressants or things like that. And, who are, you know, and I'm not a medical advisor, by the way, we're not doctors here, people, you know, there's definitely, some space to ask your doctor on maybe ways to like back off of SSRIs or things like that. And maybe try and, you know, switch with mushrooms. But have you had any like stories like that? People who have successfully gone from, you know, any kind of drug usage or anything that comes to mind that is worth noting?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm on Lexapro now. And before taking mushrooms, the Lexapro just, you have no emotion at all. Like you just don't want to do anything. Like no sex drive, no nothing. You don't, can't cry or anything. And I felt while taking, maybe that's why I could take a larger amount of mushrooms too, because I know it does affect the result, but I feel like the mushrooms help give me more feeling back when I'm taking the antidepressants. So that's, I think that's definitely been a key factor in helping me. I eventually want to get off the antidepressants, and I've been talking to a couple people to help me, but Lexapro is so strong where it's just a hard one to get off of completely. But definitely my brother-in-law, he's on an SSRI, and we've had the same DMT pen taking the same amount of hits, and nothing happens to him. So I think that is the some case for when some people do say they don't feel anything.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's a kind of bummer too, but I think ketamine's been helping people a lot in getting off of the SSRIs too. So it's been good to see that has been legalized in a lot of areas now. I tell anyone, just be careful if they are trying to come off of any SSRI, for sure.
Definitely. So it sounds like you've got some great people in your community. What are some of the things that you're striving for to accomplish this year in 2024? You know, whether that's, you know, new project, you know, we don't have to disclose, you know, information obviously, but like, you know, new projects, products, events, like what are some of the things you want to do this year that you're really excited about?
Yeah. So I want to get more involved in my local community. That's one thing that I've been kind of shy of to do, just because I'm in an area where, you know, we barely got dispensaries just recently. And so I'm just really nervous about that, just because, you know, even just having psilocybin, you know, at your home could be, you know, you can get in trouble for. So I just really want to try to get out and kind of test the waters in my area, maybe do a little like an Eventbrite, maybe do like a growing thing or just like an introduction to microdosing. But I also want to grow, you know, globally too. I want people to see Shroomed. My goal is to get Shroomed like a cookies one day, just to be an everyday name in everyone's household. So eventually I hope that happens. But this year we are planning, you know, some little events here to try to, you know, make that happen. And I think the first step would be at the Entheogen Expo. Just try to get some good content there. It's just me doing this. So, and sometimes my wife helps with taking some pictures, but so just trying to get more content out there for you guys.
I feel that. Shout out to the girlfriends and wives who are pseudo assistants. Yeah. Like I'm doing it by myself too, man. Of course I've got some great admins and mods in the Discord, but other than that, like, you know, we are kind of heading this, you know, alone for the most part. So I see you and congratulate you for that, man. That's just keep rolling. I think what you're doing is great. It obviously was very appealing to me. I've been in the industry quite some time, so I would assume to someone who isn't in the industry, it's very appealing as well. I'm interested to know, what are some of your most valued belief systems or thoughts that you carry with you, like some of the cornerstones of what makes you?
Definitely being humble for sure. Just remembering where you come from. I was bullied a lot when I was a kid. I used to be a little fat kid. I used to get like beat up like in high school. So just being able to just remember where you're from, I think that's one thing. Being nice to other people, especially in this community. I mean, I think there shouldn't be any like rivals in this community, because if we all just stick to our goal and growing our own, you know, community, I think it's all going to work out for everyone. I think we're so small right now, this industry, where we shouldn't be fighting with each other over anything. I think being genuine for sure. And just being yourself, being honest with everyone too. So being honest, being humble, and just being remembering where you came from for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, remember where you came from. And I like what you just said about the industry being like the group of people involved in this. It's so small. There's no reason to be fighting at all. It kind of amazes me that there's even like rivalries. We're all trying to get the same message out, and we're all part of that. So I mean, it's going to happen. I bet you there's like bakers and, you know, people making cupcakes and brownies who are competing with each other. You know, it's everywhere kind of thing, you know, but I get that. I would like to ask you, what advice would you give to the newer, you know, the someone who's new into psychedelics? Because obviously and clearly you've had some like some groundbreaking results in your own life. You are influencing, you know, thousands of people now. You are a better person and a family man because of it. What advice would you give to those who are just starting out or who are interested in, maybe like you had a message to give? What would you say?
I would say if you're interested in obviously getting into psychedelics, I think do your research, check out all the YouTube videos and podcasts. That way you almost kind of can see the experience happening before it happens, just because you want to be ready for everything and anything, even if there's a bad trip, which there shouldn't be if you're doing everything correctly. Make sure your settings are good. And just, I think just do as much research as you can from people that are reliable sources like yourself. I know there's a lot of other people on YouTube that you can find in podcasts, but the more that you are ready for it, I think the more you know what to expect, the more you'll be ready for it, I guess. And don't expect like everything to happen right away. Don't expect it to be the magic bullet. There's a lot of people who will tell me like, hey, it's microdosing doesn't work for me. Why isn't it working? It's like, you can't go into it thinking it's going to work or not work. You just got to go into it and just take it and just feel the changes and try it out for the long run. at least if you're going to start microdosing, at least try it for, you know, a month straight before you say it's not working. Right. And definitely write down your feelings and experiences, because it's not going to be there the first week. It might not be there the second week, but that third week you might, you know, go to McDonald's and then realize, oh wait, I don't need to go to McDonald's, you know? So there's definitely some time it takes to rewire your brain, and to get everything moving right for sure.
That's some sage advice right there, man. It's been a blast having you on, my friend. I can't thank you enough. I think you're going to inspire many people, and would love to have you on in the future. I'm obviously going to be seeing you here at the Entheogen Expo here. Fuck, it's like 2 weeks. Wait, what's today? The 22nd? Oh. It's like a couple weeks away, man. We're almost there. I'm really excited to see you there. Shake your hand in person. I have one lasting question for you on the podcast. I ask everybody that I interview this question. You can answer it in short form, long form. It's kind of an interpret as you may question. And that is, in what ways on a daily basis are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom?
That's a good question. I'd say learning more as much as I can, something new about mushrooms every day. I try to go into the news, search mushroom every day and see what new pops up, just to see if I'm not missing anything. And just having an open mind every day. That's a really good question. And just putting a shroomed hat on and talking to anyone who asks me about it, honestly, just being honest with my experience, I think is going to help grow the mushroom and bloom the mushroom.
Agreed. Well, my friend, how can everybody find you? Where can they find you? How can they get in contact with you, and how can they most support you?
Yeah, man. You can find me on Instagram at @stayshroomed. You could email me info@shroomed.com. Those are the two easiest ways to get a hold of me. You can check out the Shroomed podcast, and just anyone that agrees to break the stigma with us is a part of the Shroomed community. That's all you got to do.
Love that. Really looking forward to our episode on your podcast as well. If you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a like. Don't forget to comment down below in the comment section with questions you might have. Don't forget to subscribe so you guys can be notified when we post brand new videos here. Also, if you guys want to learn how to go from spore to healing, you guys can join the Patreon. There's plenty of content there for you guys to learn from. Weekly giveaways, things of that nature, and the Discord server as well. And until next time, namaste. Have a great day. Don't contemplate. Meditate, and we will see you guys on the next one. Thanks, brother. Have a good one. Thanks for coming on today. Man. Bye. All right. Peace, guys. Bye.